Well, we come on down to 1 John 5, 10th verse. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. If you believe on the Son of God, the proof of your believing is in you. That's what that witness, it means evidence. The proof that you're a believer is not in what you say. He said it's in you. Praise God. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the evidence in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. I know that God does not stand here in the present and look back to Calvary and say, this is what happened. For 20 years now, I've been looking back at Calvary and preaching what happened at Calvary. And I have no question about what I've preached. Because it works. It's real. It works. But there are other people looking back at Calvary and said, no, Brother Surface, at Calvary, He took the penalty for our sins. Now, that's what other people are saying. I'm not saying that. I've never found a scripture that does say that. But that's universal. But what we don't follow through on, that out of that has come the belief that we're all sinners, we'll always be sinners as long as we live in this human body, we'll be sinners because He took the penalty. And there'll never be a penalty even though I continue in sin. The wages of sin is still death. Jesus did not come, die on that cross to take the penalty for our sin. I'm cutting through a doctrine that has been orthodox for 500 years. But it was not orthodox before 500 years ago. It's probably better than what was before, because that was the Roman Catholic. And what the man that first came up with penal substitution was trying to do, the Catholic says you've got to buy forgiveness of sins with money. You've got to do penance because of your sins. You've got to go to purgatory and suffer for your sins. And he says, no! Jesus took that penalty at the cross. You don't have to go to purgatory. You don't have to buy it with money, and et cetera, et cetera. But they've turned it into a doctrine that Jesus took the wages of sin upon Himself, and we can sin and never receive the wages or the penalty of it. And that's almost universally what's believed today. And you know it. If you don't see it in their doctrine, you'll see it in their lives. And it's something we've got to understand. But somebody else would look back to Calvary and said, no! No! That's not it! He died on the cross to cover us so God can't see us. That's another prominent doctrine of the church. I had a man preach in my church a couple of months ago. Keith had invited him for a Sunday night service. He's a good man. I love the man. Doesn't make me believe he's not a Christian, but he got to preaching along and suddenly he got someone, he's a big man, and he got a little woman up there with him, and he said, now, said, this is the way it is. Said, you see her? Yes, we see her. He turns around and puts her behind him, said, do you see her now? No, we can't see her. Why can't we see her? Because all we can see is you. And he says, well, that's the way it is with God. He can only see Jesus. He can't see you. That is a perversion. That is a perversion. You know, all things are naked and opened unto Him with whom we have to do. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And you tell me that if we're covered with the blood, that God cannot see our sin? That's a perversion. That is a perversion. But my argument was one voice Their argument, another voice, he took the penalty, he took the punishment, he supplied the honor. That's another ancient belief that God was so dishonored by sin that somebody had to do a great honor to take away the dishonor that was done him. And Jesus has a surplus honor that he bestows upon us sinners, saved by grace. But all of that is theories of men looking back. But God did not look back to Calvary and say, this is what happened. God, the very day that sin entered into the world, 4,000 years before Jesus was born of the Virgin, He began to speak and to reveal His Son and said, this is what He's going to do. Praise God. And then over 500 years before Jesus was born, He sent Gabriel to speak of the Christ and said, this is what He's going to do. And we're going to cover that tomorrow. But in the third chapter of Genesis, concerning the Son, the day that Adam sinned, seventh verse, the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto him, Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereas I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. You talk about passing the buck. This is the first instance of it. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Pass the buck. He didn't ask the serpent, why did you do this? He said, because thou hast done this. Thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast in the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Did you see that? He promised a seed of the woman. And he said, her seed shall bruise thy head, O serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Someone said, well, how does that be a record that God gave of his son? It's the seed of the woman. He didn't say the seed of the man. He said the seed of a woman. It's a mystery. Eve probably expects Cain to go bruise the head of the serpent. But Cain's a murderer. They're looking for a seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. And 3,300 years go by, and there's never been found a seed of the woman that could bruise the head of the serpent. And then Isaiah prophesies